6th, 2011 evening message. Makes it helpful. I've been the one who's putting up the messages. See, it's helpful if you know right away. Well, I was going to start off with a tricky question, but if you have the worksheet, and I know you do, it's not going to be a big surprise. But, so just go with me on this one. Do you know what topic the Lord Jesus spoke on more than any other subject? Yes, in the front. A lot of people say that the answer is hell. But that statistic is that the Lord Jesus spoke more on hell than he did on heaven. But the question is, what subject did he speak on more than any other subject? And if you're looking at your sheet, you can tell it's money. That's a big surprise to a lot of people, that the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry spoke more about money than he did about anything else. Now, I haven't actually researched that statistic, but I think the people who compiled that also include like the parable of the talents, about paying taxes and things like that. But the point is that the Lord Jesus spoke a lot about money, and the Bible has a lot to say about money. And something is very wrong if we don't hear messages about money. Some people have this idea that, well, we don't want to seem like we're grabbing for money. Well, the Lord didn't seem to have that hesitation, did he? He didn't seem to be bothered that, well, if I preach about money, people then start to think that I'm just trying to build up my ministry. And, well, the reason he didn't have to worry about that was because his character spoke for itself. And our desire at Curtis is that our character would speak for ourselves. If you were to come here, people would say, well, obviously they're not about the money. Just look at them and look at the way they act. Obviously they're not about the money. So when we talk about money, it's clear that we're not one of those churches that just wants more, 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 more. So may our character commend us as the Lord Jesus' character commended his. There are a lot of different scriptures that talk about money, and because of that, I gave you this worksheet or these typed out notes, so that way you wouldn't have to write them all down. Our time together is going to be devoted to answering 5 questions. Why should we give? How should we give? What should we give? And to whom should we give? This is an important subject. Recently we had our annual business meeting. And as we're talking about where the money goes, how we get money in, what's the financial state, a lot of people had a lot of questions about money. And several people came to me and said, you know what, you should speak on money. And so I said, okay. We need to have a good basis about what the Bible says about money if we're going to act in a way that pleases the Lord. So let's get started with the subject, why should we give? Why should we give? In fact, turn with me to start off with to 1 Timothy 6, 8 to 10. We're going to look up a few of these scriptures, but for the sake of time, we can't look all of them up. So we'll just look up a few just as a sample to make sure you're paying attention. The other ones we'll just quote. 1 Timothy 6 reads this. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will or desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare or a trap and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. While some men coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. First of all, we should give money to avoid the trap of materialism. To avoid the trap of materialism. Now you'll notice in your notes that I have to avoid the trap of underline. So if you have any desire to take notes, to avoid the trap of materialism, and materialism is well, the Lord Jesus said this, and that's our next one in Luke 12:15. A man's life does not consist in the things which he owns. And that's materialism. That the value, the worth of my life can be measured by how many things I have. How big my bank account is, how many toys I have. And that's our next one, Luke 12:15. In fact, that's an interesting passage right there if you want to look it up in your own free time. There, a man, the Lord Jesus is preaching to a giant crowd, and somebody asked the Lord, he says, Master, make my brother give me my fair share of my inheritance. And this is how the Lord responds. A man's life, first he says, who made me a ruler and a judge between you and your brother? A man's life does not consist in the things which he owns. We should not be concerned about just amassing more and more things. Matthew 13:22, this is the parable of the soils. And there's one seed that falls into ground, into thorny ground. It springs up quickly. It receives the word of God. It's excited about it. Represents somebody who's excited about being a Christian, gets saved, starts to live for this world. And then in Matthew 13:22, it's explained that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out. The deceitfulness of riches was the phrase that I wanted to stress there. So to avoid the trap of materialism, our money's got to go somewhere, and we only hurt ourselves, we only poison ourselves if we keep it for ourselves. People try to amass more and more money thinking that that is going to satisfy them. It's like if you were stranded in the ocean and you begin to get thirsty. Well, you look around and you see this sparkling blue stuff. It looks like water. It looks like it'll satisfy you. But the more you drink it, the thirstier you get. And that's what it's like to satisfy the need of the soul with money. The more you try to fill that void with money, the thirstier you're going to get. And I like the way 1 Timothy puts it there. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They drown themselves, is what it says. So in a very real way, materialism is suicide for the soul. We want to avoid that, and so we should give our money away. Now, if that's all that the Bible had to say about this subject, we could just become hippies. Or we could just, just not have any money at all. But the Bible gives us a lot more information as to what exactly we're supposed to do with our money. We should give, number two, to please God. To please God. In Hebrews 13:16, we read, but to do good and to communicate or to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we give of our finances, when we share with others. So the main reason a Christian should give is to please God. Next, we have Matthew 25:40 and also verse 44. That's when the Lord talks about the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And he says, whatever you did to the least of these brothers of mine, you did it unto me. So when we give our money to others or to the church, if we give it to the least of our other brothers, it's as if we were giving directly to the Lord Jesus himself. So the number two reason is, these aren't in any like order, like the number one reason, it's just as they popped into my head. So the number three reason is because we have received much. Because we have received much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are very important passages. They're the longest passages in the Bible that talk about money and giving. And in the middle of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we have that verse that was quoted over and over and over again in the morning meeting. You know the grace. In fact, the verse goes like this. Because, or for, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. The point is that we should be so willing to give because we have received so much. the Lord Jesus has given us so much, is it too much to ask that we give of our resources? Number four, we should give because we love each other. Because we love each other. And in that same passage, in fact, the verse before, 2 Corinthians 8:8 reads, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. By financially giving, they were proving the sincerity of their love. 1 John 3:17 is a very powerful verse that talks about this. In fact, go ahead and turn there with me to 1 Timothy 3, and let's read verse 16, because that's a powerful verse as well. 1 John 3:16. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, you know what? The chances for me to actually lay down my life for someone else doesn't occur very often. And if it did occur often, I could do it probably once. That's just the nature of the action. But there's another action that can test that the sincerity of that love if we really are willing to do something like that. And that's verse 17. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How dwelleth the love of God abide? How dwelleth the love of God in him? And then I like this verse 18 also. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. It's like that saying, put your money where your mouth is. And if you say you love your brother, well, there's a very good way of showing it. If he has need, meet that need. If you have this world's goods, share them. This is not advanced theology. It's simple, but yet it's very difficult to obey. But it demonstrates sometimes, and I love the practicality there. Sometimes we could say, oh, I love you so much, I'd be willing to do this or to do that or to do this. But well, there's a very practical way of demonstrating our love. The next reason, number five, it's because we can't take it with us. We should give our money away because we can't put it in the casket with us. There's this very famous verse, Job 1:21. You probably know it. Naked have I come into this world, and naked will I return. Didn't take as rich as he was. He lost all of it. And he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We can't take it with us. In fact, that's what we read earlier in 1 Timothy 6:7. We started off in this passage, and that in 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." That's obvious, but it's well put. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So why invest our resources on things that won't last? Instead, we should invest our resources in things that will last. And that's our last point here, number six, to gain eternal rewards. To gain eternal rewards. You remember the story about the rich young ruler. And, the Lord Jesus says to him in Matthew 19:21, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. And the disciples overheard this, and Peter says, well, we've left everything. What do we have coming to us? And he says in verse 29, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So to receive eternal rewards, notice here in the statement of the Lord Jesus that when we give up things for God, when we give, we get an eternal reward, and that's a good thing on two accounts. One is that there's a high interest gain. You get 100 times, you get 100 times as much back. $5 given now would be $500 in the coming kingdom. I don't know if it's specifically meant to be a one-to-one ratio, but the idea is there. And also that it is eternal. It will last forever. It will last forever. Let's look once more at that. Let's go to Luke 12, verse 33. And the Lord, in verse 32, says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old or do not decay, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Perhaps four of the most unpopular words that the Lord Jesus ever said in verse 33. Sell what you have. Sell what you have and give. And if we do that, we have treasure in heaven and nothing can ever touch that. So, to gain eternal reward, you can look up those other verses later on. But we're gonna. That's a basic overview of why we should give, to avoid the trap of materialism, to please God, because we've received much, because we love each other, because we can't take it with us, and to gain eternal rewards. Giving should be of paramount interest to every believer.